The Cass Daily Show with Larry Keating, Pink Trot as Horace, Henry Russell in his music, and Cass's special guest, Basil Rathbone. And here is the star of our show, Cass Daily.
Ladies and gentlemen, deep in the valley called San Fernando, in the home of Cass Daly, excitement is running high. It seems that Cass and her Uncle Herman have been invited to Basil Rathbone's house in Beverly Hills. At the moment, Cass is applying the finishing touches to her makeup. Suddenly, she turns to her uncle, clears her throat, and says in a low, dignified voice,
"Got a cough drop, Unc? Gee, you know, I'm so nervous, Unc. How do I look? Huh? Tell me."
"Ah, what beauty. What grace. Never in my life have I seen from such an exquisite figure."
"Uncle Herman, put down that Esquire." "You know, I don't understand you sometimes. Here we are invited to Basil Rathbone's party, and you spend your time reading Esquire. What's so interesting in Esquire?"
"Naive little character, aren't you?"
"Oh, well, never mind. Now, tell me, Uncle Herman, do I look all right? Remember, I spent all day at the beauty parlor getting a mud pack."
"Don't you think it's time you took it off?"
"It is off."
I'm sorry, my dear."
"Well, okay now. Now help me hook up the back of my dress, will you?"
"Yes. Ah, Cassandra, this brings back fond memories."
"It does.
I always used to hook your Aunt Maud's dresses. I can't seem to get these last two hooks together."
"Those are my shoulder blades." "Well, anyway, thanks, Uncle Herman. Yeah, I wonder who that can be."
"Well, that must be the tailor with my tuxedo. Will you answer the door, my dear?"
"Okay." "Yes?"
"I'm from the tailor. Where are you from?"
"What?
You must be Cass Daly. Who must I be?"
"You must be nuts." "Now, look, have you got my uncle's suit?"
"Yeah, here it is, but we burned a hole in the pants."
"But you're only giving me the vest."
"I know. We burned a hole in the coat, too."
"Oh, well, now, gee, Winnegar, how is it you didn't burn a hole in the vest?"
"We didn't want to get in a rut." "We'll send you a bill for $5.
$5 for what?"
"For the doctor to try to bring this in, too."
"Oh, dear.
You deliver the tuxedo, my dear?"
"Oh, only the holes." "Well, you'd better wear your formal shorts." "Yes, I think that would be better. And by the way, Uncle, where did you get that tuxedo?"
"Oh, I got that when I was an actor."
"When you were an actor?"
"Of course, my child." You are speaking to the greatest actor the theater has ever known. At every performance, I held the audience in the palm of my hand.
How is that possible?
I worked in a flea circus. and I'd still be a big star if my leading lady hadn't run away with a dog.
Oh, well, now look, Uncle Herman. I wonder who that can be. I'll answer the door.
I love life, and I want to live, and I...
I'm from DeForest. Where are you from?
Oh, it's you again. I thought you were from the tailor.
I was, but the shop burned down. Now I'm from DeForest. I smell good, don't I?
What did you say?
I said, don't I smell good?
He's really asking for it, ain't he, folks? Well, what do you want?
Basil Rathbone sent me over here with these orchids.
Orchids? For me?
Yeah, for Uncle Hyman. Goodbye.
Well, I'll be. If
that... That's the man from the florist, guys.
No, he was from the bunkhouse. Where are you from?
Gee, Uncle Herman, you know, I do so want to make an impression on Basil Rathbone. He's so tall and stately, and I'm so stale and tautly. Doesn't sound right. You know, what I mean is, I'll be proud when I make my entrance. He'll walk toward me in his grand manner, and he'll bow and kiss my hand, and then in his face close to mine, in a voice trembling with passion, he'll say,
Gee, I love to hold your hand, Kathy.
Oh, why, Horace, you're early. How did you get here so fast?
Strong tailwind.
We'll be late for the party.
Well, I've got a cab waiting outside, Cassie.
Oh, well, thanks, Harris. You know, you think of everything.
Now, that must be the cab driver.
Okay. Come on, Uncle Herman. Come on, Harris.
Allow me to open the door for you, Cassie. Mm-hmm. I'm from the cab company. Where are you from?
Oh, no!
Yes, sir. It's Henry Russell and his music, with a Russell arrangement of that great hit tune from Harvey Girls. The Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe. Hit it, Hank.
Thank you.
ladies and gentlemen, while Cass, Horace, and Uncle Herman are on their way to Basil Rathbone's house, let's look in on Mr. Rathbone, who is preparing for the party with the aid of his butler, Cecil.
It is all time, Mr. Rathbone.
Thank you, Cecil.
Mr. Rathbone. I say, Mr. Rathbone, if you'll pardon my saying so, sir, I think you've been doing too many of those Sherlock Holmes detective broadcasts.
What makes you say that, Cecil?
Well, sir, at dinner last night, when I served the lady finger for dessert, you pressed them into jam and took off fingerprints.
Oh. I'm sorry, it's force of habit, you know. But I must say that since I've been portraying Sherlock Holmes, my powers of deduction have increased tremendously.
Really, sir?
Yes, Cecil. For instance, just by looking at you, I can tell that exactly one half an hour ago, you sneaked down to my wine cellar, took a bottle of sparkling burgundy, and were about to take a drink when a flower pot hit you on the head and frightened you away.
Oh, my word, sir. It happened exactly as you said. How did you know, sir?
Who do you think threw the flower pot?
I'm so sorry, sir. I only wanted to take a little drink.
Yes, you didn't expect to wind up potted. Wind up potted, I say. That's a bit of a joke, isn't it?
If you say so, sir. Now may I suggest that if you're going to...
That, Cecil, is the doorbell.
Incredible, sir. I think you put your finger on it, sir.
No, someone else did. Please answer it.
Very good, sir.
Hello, I'm Cass Daly.
Well, don't apologize. We were expecting you. This way, please.
Oh, thank you. Gee, what a lovely house. Oh, my goodness, here comes Mr. Rathbone.
Well, if it isn't Cassandra Daly, I've often looked forward to meeting a young lady of your undeniable charm and social breeding.
Well, razz-a-tazz, if it ain't old Baz. How you doing, boy?
Tell me, Baz, how you doing?
I'll tell you as soon as you release me from this Hop Nelson.
Oh, just a little playful thing, that's all. You know, Baz, well, I've never seen you before in person, but you're exactly as I pictured you.
And Cass, you're exactly as I pictured you.
Well, let's be friends anyway. Gosh, Cecil, I'm so thrilled being with you. The famous Sherlock Holmes of screen and radio.
I'm a pretty good detective in real life, too. Why, just today I did some sensational deducting on a famous case.
Well, what did you do?
I helped Dick Tracy get wind of V.O. Plenty.
Oh.
Now, come, let us join the rest of my guests, shall we? Look, here comes Lady Dalrymple.
Oh, there you are, Mr. Rathbone. I've been wanting to talk to you about the music hall we're having next week. I think the orchestra should open with Shostakovich's Fifth, followed by Debussy's Afternoon of a Fall.
Don't you think Rachmaninoff's Prelude would be better, followed by Schubert's Unfinished Symphony?
Oh, excellent. Then we'll add Bach's Toccata and Fugue, followed by Scheherazade by Rimsky-Korsakov.
I know all the words of chicory chick tala tala chicaroni. In a banana.
Hi. Oh, hello, Miss Daly. We were discussing these composers because Mr. Rathbone and I are giving a music hall to raise money to ease the housing shortage.
Oh, well, that's silly. Basil could end the housing shortage himself if he wanted to.
Me? How can I end the housing shortage?
By renting out some of Sherlock's homes.
Ridiculous, you know. After all, no one would want to rent a detective's house.
Why wouldn't anyone want to rent a detective house?
Well, it's got too many clues closets. I said it, and I'll bet Abbott and Costello said it first.
Well, now, look, if it'll help you out, I'd like to sing at your musicale, Miss Dalrymple.
Mrs. Dalrymple? It's Lady Dalrymple. I come from England, and over there, I'm a lady.
Whatever are you over here?
Temper.
Oh, Mr. Rathbone, I'm not going to stay with this creature another minute. I'm going to join some of the more civil guests. Goodbye.
Bye. Well, Basil, now that she's gone, I'd like to find out about that picture we're making together. Do I have any love scenes with you?
Just one. I go mad and don't know whether I love or hate you. Hate and love are waging a turbulent battle within me. I can't decide whether to kiss or kill you. Finally, the evil within me triumphs, and I make up my mind to kill you, and in a voice filled with hatred and passion, I say...
Try a sandwich, Taff. They got butter.
Oh. Oh, for goodness sake, Taff, but you always interrupted a crucial moment. We were rehearsing a dramatic scene.
Oh, I'm sorry. I won't interrupt anymore. Now, continue.
Ah, Cassandra, you're my beloved, and now... Love is triumphing over hate. Yes, yes, that's it. I love you. I love you. So let me take you with me to my ancestral home in Virginia, and there you will be mine, and I will be thine in old Virginia.
Oh, brother, get a load of that Virginia ham.
Cara, stop antagonizing Basil.
Yes, he's a queer little character, Miss Daly. How did you ever get hold of Horace for a boyfriend?
Well, I appeared on Truth or Consequences and missed my question. But he's a cute little consequence, isn't he?
Yeah, I suppose he is. Oh, Cancer, how about you singing a song for my guests?
Ah, no, they wouldn't want to hear me sing.
I know, but sing it anyway.
I can't begin to tell you how much you mean to me. My world would end if ever we were through. I can't begin to tell you how happy I would be if I could speak my mind as others do. I make such pretty speeches whenever we're apart. But when you're near, the words I choose refuse to leave my heart. So take the sweetest phrases the world has ever known and make believe I've said them all. I can't begin to tell you how much you mean to me. My world would end if ever we were through. If ever we were through, well, I can't imagine what my life would be without you. I'd be like a kiss without a hug, a shoulder without a shrug, a spark without a plug. I can't begin to tell you how happy I would be if I could speak my mind as others do. Or if I could speak my mind as others do, I would say to you, you are the Mersey dotes of all my chicory chicks. And I love the tender way you chickalarole me in a bananica. So can it be a faux pas to say you are my chilla, chilla? Hmm? Oh, and I make such pretty speeches whenever we're apart. Yes, I started to write a lovely little poem dedicated to you. It goes like this. Hickory dickory dock, the mouse ran up the clock. The clock struck four. The clock struck four. The clock struck four. That's more like it. So take the sweetest phrases the world has ever known. Oh, how I'd love to say sweet phrases to you like, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? And your name had to be Murgatroyd. Murgatroyd McNuckle. I'd have to say, oh, Murgatroyd McNuckle. Oh, Murgatroyd McNuckle. Wherefore are your knuckles? Murgatroyd McNuckle, you are so kind, so sweet, so dear, so gentle. You are so... you're so-so. So take the sweetest phrases the world has ever known and make believe I've said them all to you.
Okay.
Thanks,
that window.
I can answer that, Lady Dalrymple. If my deductions, were correct, which they invariably are, Miss Daly studied in Paris for 10 years under Professor Montague.
Oh?
Am I right, Cass?
No, I just took 2 lessons in Griffith Park from a guy named Max.
Just as I thought.
Oh, well, I... Uh-oh.
What's the matter,
Cass? Oh, dear.
What are you looking for?
Oh, well, it's nothing important. One of my earrings is missing. I must have dropped it. Yeah.
Just a moment, Miss Daly. This may not be as unimportant as it seems. When did you first miss your earring?
When my head started drooping to one side. I thought I was tilted.
Ah. And was this a diamond earring?
Well, if it wasn't, I've been gypped out of $1.75.
Miss Daly, I have reason to believe that you are the victim of a sinister gang of criminals.
Say, Lottie, darling, boy, why is Basil making such a fuss about my earring?
Oh, the dear boy can't help himself. You see, he's played Sherlock Holmes so often on the radio. He fancies he really is the fellow.
This is similar to the case of a missing thimble. Underneath that simple theft was a trail of cruel, diabolical, cold-blooded murder. The police were baffled. Then I stepped in and put my foot down. Well... Don't just stand there. Help me get my foot out of the floor.
Well, look, never mind that. We've got to get the crook who stole my earring.
Ah, somebody at the door. I wonder who it could be. It couldn't be the Ronald Colemans. They don't know that I'm giving this party. It wouldn't be Clive Brook. He's in England. Maybe it's Reggie Gardner. No. He doesn't get up that early. Could it be Cyril Travers? No, he's dead. It wouldn't be the McIntyres. We don't speak. No, there's... nobody at the door. Absolutely nobody.
Nobody just knocked again.
Who could it be? It couldn't be the Simpsons. It couldn't...
Oh, possibly... now let's not go through that again. Come in.
My, what a weird-looking man. Who is he?
It's a very simple matter of deduction, Lady Dalrymple. This man is obviously a policeman, as you can tell by his feet. He is evidently attached to the Beverly Hills Police Department, as you can see by his sports jacket and sneakers. And now he's here on official business. Am I right, my good man?
I'm from the butcher. Where are you from?
Oh, no, not you again.
Yes, it's me again. Isn't it you again?
Oh, now, look, you know what Senator Claghorn would say if he saw you?
Now, what?
That's a jerk, son.
Jerk, that is. Goodbye.
Now, look, Nasal. I mean, the base of Basil. Let's forget about my earring.
I'm sorry, Cassandra, but when I get on a case, the Sherlock Holmes instinct within me insists that I finish it. Now, I'll have to search everyone in this room, even you ladies.
Basil, you go too far. Don't you dare lay a hand on us.
Speak for yourself, sister. Go ahead, Basil. I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
I've got a better idea. I think I'll go upstairs and cross-examine that French maid.
That silly little girl? Why, she wasn't even in the room.
Quiet, you. I know what I'm doing.
Say, is Sherlock Holmes supposed to be a bloodhound or a wolf? Now, look, Basil, why don't we forget...
Mr. Rathbone, you've got to help me.
What is it?
Well, you played Sherlock Holmes on the radio. You're a good detective. You've got to help me solve this case. Somebody robbed my home. They took all my money and jewelry. I caught a glimpse of the thief. He was a big fella, 6'1", stocky with red hair. I think it was my brother-in-law. Of course, that's who it was. My brother-in-law. Oh, thank you, Mr. Rathbone. How much do I owe you? $100? Here you are. Goodbye.
It, as I told you, once I start on the case, I don't stop until I solve it. I suspected his brother-in-law right along.
Oh, you're marvelous. You know, I suspected his cousin. Well, I never would have guessed it. You're wonderful.
Exactly. Now, let's get on with the case. We'll have to start this investigation again from the very bottom.
Why don't you start from the cellar?
A capital idea. Let's go down to the cellar. Follow me. Right through this door, please. Be very careful, everybody. It's rather dark.
Oh.
You all right, Cassandra?
Yes, I'm holding on to the banister. Rickety old thing, ain't it?
That's my leg.
Rickety old thing, ain't it?
Here's the light switch.
Ah! A mouse!
I beg your pardon.
Oh, it's the people, Austin. I didn't recognize you.
Look! On the floor. By that case of champagne, it's a body. This is a murder. Everybody is under suspicion, including me.
Oh, no. Wait a minute, Basil. I mean, Basil. I have a confession to make.
A confession?
Yeah, you see, I just remembered. This earring I'm wearing, well, I didn't lose the other one. I found this one.
Well, what about the body? Oh, look, the body's getting up.
Oh, that's no body. That's Uncle Herman. Uncle Herman, are you dead?
Dead nothing. This is living.
Well, that settles it, Cass. I solved the case.
Oh, you may have solved the case, but Uncle Herman emptied it.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.